This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
The Glass Heart String Choir. I'm going to keep saying that because that's an amazing name. I'm going to talk to you about it right now.
Previous name, The Thoughts, which as we say it, we realized we had to spell it often because people weren't sure what we were saying. Everybody else. We realized the name didn't really tell you anything about who we were and what to expect from hearing us. I believe someone described it as a nothing burger of a name. That's really where the String Choir comes from, in really wanting to have something that buoys the emotion and the story that is being told in the lyrics.
Usually when we ask people about, oh, we just made it up over a beer.
All right, I saw a spider in a bucket.
Yeah, that was about that one. Now, just as we wrap up, we'll just mention that Kate has now got a harp blister. She's telling us our harp is more rock and roll than people suspect.
And we need to clean some blood off the floor.
There's blood on the carpet.
Expanding Horizons.
Good afternoon and welcome to Expanding Horizons on Plains FM 96.9. You're with Cole and Stu, and it's all going on, Stu. How's things?
Good, thank you. Yeah, it is all going on.
Yeah.
But cooler today in Christchurch.
It is a bit cooler today. It's suddenly like... Last week, I thought last Sunday we were at 35 or something, and now we're at like 5 or something.
It's crazy. Something crazy.
But you know what I think's gone on? I think our next guest has brought it over in his bag, all the way from dreary old London, UK, and he's not owning up to it. That's what I suspect. I'm just saying that, Michael.
Yeah,
now.
I'm not tagging for that one, mate.
So it's been an interesting week, though, weather-wise, Stu. If we're going to talk weather...
Well, we're not talking weather.
No, right, okay.
No, we're not.
But it has been interesting.
It has been interesting, yep. And great to have a short week, too, with Waitangi Day.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic, wasn't it?
That made me feel recharged for Friday.
Oh, did it?
Yeah,
no,
and the real weekend, not that fake weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Hey.
That's right. So, hey, good show last week.
Fantastic, and that was a great... ID sweeper there you played at, we played at the start that you put together.
And once again, they were so easy to talk to, the Glass Heart String Choir.
Yeah, they were, weren't
Ian
they?
And Katie.
Yep.
They're all out on tour at the moment.
Yep, they'll be out there in the wilds.
They'll be in the North Island, I think.
They will be, with their harp. And hopefully Katie's blisters repaired itself and she's...
Hopefully,
yeah. We don't want her to get injured while she's playing her harp.
Yeah, they were very interesting, actually. Lots of good things to say.
They were interesting. Mm. And if people were interested in listening to it or listening into it again, it's probably there on the Expanding Horizons on plainsfm.org.nz.
Yep, sure is.
And also you'll probably put it somewhere else in the... internet ether, haven't you?
You do have to get in quick for those ones on the Plains FM site because they're only available for download for 7 days, but you can listen to them, of course.
Yeah, that's right.
Can't download them.
Yeah, so that's cool, isn't it? And get along there.
It's very cool. Right, so what's happening today?
Well, we have got some Down in Splendour. We've got Michael from Down in Splendour, who, as I just said before, is just arrived, maybe just arrived.
Kind of just arrived, yeah, just before Christmas.
So, yeah. All the way from the UK. Well, you're Christchurch local, aren't you?
Yeah, Christchurch is hometown, I guess.
Yeah, so. But you've been over there.
I have.
Working and playing and doing some stuff, and you've come in to talk about what you've been up to, and we're going to have to listen to some of your tracks. And,
looking forward to it.
Yeah. A guitarist from the stable of Rob Tate, I think. Is that right?
I've been called worse.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So we'll have a talk. We'll talk all about that and your interests and listen to some of your tracks. And I was going to say, Stu, a lot has been happening in the week, especially for guitarists, right? Because we've, in the music world, has lost 2 guitarists in the week. Probably lost a few, but one was specific to New Zealand. And that was Richard Brough. And he was in the... I think he was originally in Blue Meanies when he was very, very young.
Right.
And then Straight Jacket Fits. And, of course, later on he was in the band Bike. And we're going to play a track from Straight Jacket Fits in a moment. And also Gang of Four. Gang of Four lost Andy Gill.
Right.
Who Yeah, we'll talk about that when we come back a bit.
These things often happen in pairs, don't they?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I hope we don't go out in the same week.
Yeah, that's right. Well, luckily my guitar playing is nothing to be revered.
Because
so.
If it's you first, I'll be worried for a few days, right?
Thanks, Stu. I'll be pleased you will, you know. You're just worried about yourself on that. Anyway, here we go. So we're going to play Straitjacket Fits and their classic track, She Speeds, and you're expanding horizons on Plains FM.
Let's go to Oliver.
Thank you.
Assured and content approved by Lexia.
And I'm sure Alexia would approve if you're listening, Lexia, to Expanding Horizons on Plains FM 96.9, and you were just listening to two tracks from bands who both have lost their guitarists this week. So we had, that was Damaged Goods by Gang of Four off their first album, I think it was Entertainment, and that was Andy Gill playing the spiky guitar, and before that was Andrew Bruff, who was the guitarist with Straitjacket Fits for She Speeds.
Right. Should we get on the platform?
Yeah, let's do it, Stu.
Hey, yay, hey, yay, friends and Romans, countrymen. Hey, yay, hey, yay, punks and skins and journeymen. Hey, yay, hey, yay, my sisters and my brethren. The time is coming near.
And this week on Expanding Horizons, we have Michael all the way from the UK and hey, down in Splendor, the band that you run and oversee and do everything else by the sounds of what you've just been saying.
Spot,
yeah, is that right? So welcome into the studio
much.
And welcome back to Christchurch. And you've been away a fair while in the UK, is that right?
Yeah, I've been 10 years in London now. So, it's been a long way away. I try and get back when I can, which is nice.
And as an artist, that'd be a bit of a cultural hub for you. I mean, you get exposed to a lot of stuff going on in London of different genres and styles.
You do,
and
pretty much anything you want. There's, we were saying before, you could be at 5 gigs every night of artists that you'd cut your arm off to hear. You know, it's just so much stuff. It's more a case of choosing what you don't see.
And if you could afford it all.
And all that. Yeah, you'd be out every night and you'd be broke. So
yeah. And you still got to get up in the morning after all those gigs and go about your normal
all of that,
your normal job.
Yeah.
So Apart from the music, what other things do you do while you're in the UK? Unless, of course, you pay all your way. Music.
Yeah, running a band in London, no chance. In the last 7 or 8 years, I've been doing a lot of creative direction. So I produced the outdoor festival for the London 2012 Olympics, which I had a couple of years on. And then I went to the Merlin Entertainment Group, where I was a global shows director, overseeing all their live entertainment around the world. And,
so did you?
That kind of keeps the guitars coming in. And
I was just going to say, yeah. Oh, it keeps you in strings?
Yeah.
Is that what you just said? Are you a string buster?
Yes. Oh, no, I don't break them as a rule. I just tend to wear them out.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
And did you train in that over here, or did you go to England and train
in
over
terms
there?
Of production and direction?
Yeah, all that, or did you just fall into it somehow?
No, I sort of started off here, really, in bands and event management. It's straight out of school. I was production manager on the Summertimes Festival back in the day, and
Much
shows there, and, you know, usual school band, and, you know, learning by osmosis mostly.
When you're at school, did you do some of that techie stuff? Were you doing that?
No, not a lot, because we didn't have any gear. You know?
State school.
Right.
Well, when we started out, we actually stole the PA out of the school gymnasium and wired it together, put our guitars through it, you know, because we couldn't afford anything. You know, we had like one guitar between four people at one point, you know.
It was all very DIY. Not like that anymore, by the way.
No, it's not, yeah.
At least got a guitar each now, does.
Yeah.
So in the UK, so you have your band down in Splendor, and you were just saying to us off air about how spread you are across the world. I mean, I guess that's the nature of
it. Wasn't
digital.
It wasn't the plan,
right? Okay,
it wasn't the plan. So we were getting ready to record. We've been talking about, you know, doing the album for a while, and we've been playing shows around London and what have you. And I said, right, it's time. You know, it's time to get some good stuff down. So I said, I'm going to do a bit more writing, write a few new songs just to go with all the stuff we've been playing. So I was doing that, and then I went to Paris to finish writing songs there, mostly so I could say I'd been to Paris writing.
It's a good story on stage, right?
It's a good art thing, you know. So I hired a wee place in Paris for a week or two up in Montmartre, and just set up a wee studio there and just wrote songs in the morning, and then went down to the river in the afternoon and sat in the sun and wrote lyrics, and that was great, and I was feeling really good about
that.
Seems
ideal, right?
Yeah, it was perfect. And then I got back to London and thought, great, right, we're ready to go, guys. And then my bass player said, yeah, about that. So I'm moving back to Brazil to get married. I'll be back in a year or so. But, you know, I can record my parts there. And it's like, okay, right, that's going to get tricky. Then our drummer disappeared off on tour with another band she was in, so suddenly we're looking at a new drummer, and then it sort of spiraled from there. So suddenly we're recording the album with nobody in the room at the same time. So I talked to a couple of people who knew far more about that kind of thing than I did, and they talked me down off the ledge and said, no, you can do this. So we just sort of dug in and figured out how to do it. So I'd put a demo track down, and then the bass player would put a guide track down for the drummer, and then I'd go up to the drummer's house and spend a day there, and she would record her drum parts. Bass player would dial in from Brazil on Skype, have a listen, have a chat, and then I'd drive home, and by the time I got home, the bass part would be waiting for me in my inbox, and we just started mashing it together from there, and had all the backing vocals done in Italy, and they got sent in.
That's a story in itself, though.
It really is, yeah. And then we ended up with a Greek keyboard player who did some of his stuff in Athens and some of it in London, and it sort of grew from there. And then I was out in LA anyway, and hanging out at a friend's place, and he had a wee studio there, and we were out in this studio one night after dinner just jamming around, and I played him a couple of the tracks, and he said, oh, I love these, I really want to make some for you. And I said, yeah, but you're nowhere near London. Anyway, we talked about it, and he gave me a mate's rate on the studio, and then we looked at the numbers and thought, it's going to be cheaper to fly out here and do it than pay commercial rates in London. So went out to LA, did the vocals there, and then did the mixing, and then went on a really great road trip around Nashville and New Orleans just to wrap it all up, checking out some music. So, yeah, became a big project, you know.
What a rock and roll lifestyle is, eh?
Sounds great. Most of it I was thinking, what the hell's going to happen? You know, I mean, it was at the end when it came together. It's like, yeah, it's worked. But most of the time I thought, I have no idea if this is going to come together or not.
It's one of those... it sounds great when you play, when you talk about it in review.
When you distill it down to a 30-second soundbite, it sounds great. Most of it, it's nights lying awake thinking, shit, I've spent a lot of money on this.
It better come together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And why am I doing this? And
yes. All of that.
And so, you know, when you're on that, I was just thinking, you know, when you're saying down in Nashville and that, you get to see some great musicians. Like, Nashville's the home of some great musicians, right?
I love it. Yeah, I've been there a couple of times now. First time was really expensive because I foolishly went into a guitar shop and came out with yet another guitar to add to the one I was always already traveling with. And traveling with two guitars in a suitcase is no fun, I can tell you. So, yeah, and it's just wall-to-wall music. You know, you just every bar is just humming with the best musicians ever. But then you get down to New Orleans and it's a whole different level again. You don't even have to be in a bar because it's on the streets, it's in the vehicles, it's on boats, it's just oozing out of the cracks on the pavement. So, and went down the Mississippi, went to Clarksdale and listened, you know, home of the Delta Blues, and it's just wild, you know, it's really inspirational.
So I'm envisioning then your house in London. If it's typical of an English or London house, quite small, and then it's wall to wall guitars. Is that right?
Your
interior decoration is all.
Yeah, it became a one in one out policy, like an overcrowded nightclub, because I got to the point guitars were going into the attic because there was nowhere to put them, and and I had of course a studio set up in the back in the house as well, and with amplifiers that were sort of the size of the fridge. So you get really good at fitting things in and being very space efficient. But
it's like Tetris, is it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Tetris in a flat. Oh, that's cool. Hey, I was going to, just before we were talking about Straitjacket Fit, so down in Splendor.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
That's Straitjacket Fit.
That's tipping your wink towards them,
that's where it came from, yeah, because I always loved the song Down in Splendor by Straitjacket Fit, which was written by Andrew Bruff, and, you know, played it many times, and I was thinking about it one day, and I thought, that's a cracking name for a band, because it pretty much describes what being in a band is all about. It's all about, you know, a moment of glory, but the rest of the time it's like, how do we pay the rent? So, you know, kind of like In the Gutter, Looking at the Stars kind of notion. So, it's great. It's done nothing for our Google search at all, because, but, you know, hopefully one day we'll make the front page. But,
You just have to pay, don't you?
Yeah. Everything you have to pay. As we were saying before, everyone gets paid except the band.
In music, yeah. And so gigging around London, like, so have you been doing a lot over the time?
We were.
Especially on this new album?
We haven't gigged the new album in London yet because everybody's been scattered all over the planet. So the idea was to release for a few months at least and get some videos out there. And we've been off the road for a while putting this album together because it was probably a couple of years from start to finish once we started recording because we all had other things to do and, you know, had to pay the bills. So came together, so we thought, right, we'll just get some videos happening and get some tracks out and just start building the following up again, and then we'll start looking at doing some shows, by which time I'll have figured out how to do the shows with so many so many parts in the songs.
You could do a Kraftwerk. You know how Kraftwerk were known for that, just putting dummies on stage and they were playing at a gig. You could just get people up there and you could just phone it all in, right?
Well, I used to work at the Madame Tussauds Studios in my last job, so, you know, I had wax figures around me on a daily basis, so, and some of them quite famous musicians, so, you know, just get a second set of those.
I've seen Rolling Stones, if they're not wax already.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, there's always a solution. You just got to be creative.
Yeah, be artistic, right?
Yeah.
No one would know.
Exactly right.
If the stage lights were dark enough.
Well, I always prefer them to be.
And I was just going to say, those videos, I'm going to play a song in a minute, Stu, anyway, don't worry. I was going to say, those videos, though, that you've got up on YouTube.
Oh, thank you.
Fantastic, man. Oh. They are so good. And you were saying off air that one of those you directed yourself, is that
right? Yeah, well, the video for Green we shot in London. I had a young film director from the Met Film School, and she put that one together, and we shot that one in the grounds of Windsor Castle, actually, in Windsor Great Park, in December, freezing ourselves to death wearing summer clothes, as you often do. And yeah, the other, the video for Alice Underground, I pretty much put that one together myself. Also working with some friends who are performers in Germany who did some extra footage for me up there and added some sort of psychedelic weirdness to it in a way that only the Germans can brilliantly. And yeah, it came together really well. Actually, it was quite a mission getting that video made. I think we had 10 video directors come and go on that project before I just decided to do it myself.
So. You can empathise with that, Stu, can you?
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, we're going to play Green, right?
Okay, great.
And that right, Stu? Stu's giving me the nod. He doesn't...
You're in charge of that particular department.
Don't start with me, all right? So anyway, this is Green from Down in Splendor off the Alice in the Underground album. Correct? Am I right?
No. Alice Underground's the next song.
Alice Underground is the next song, that's right. Yeah. Sorry, made a mistake on that one.
That's all right.
Sorry, anyway, this is Green, and you're on Expanding Horizons on Plains FM.
I am the secret in your story. I am your smile. A new tomorrow from yesterday's beneath the shadow of the games we used to play. Into green, I'm green. I'm the well inside the forest. I'm green. I'm green. I've been before the twisted patterns of the lost fragility. We'll be right back.
Expanding Horizons.
You knew it, Stu.
I told you. I told you.
I was trying to
question.
Yeah, and I was trying to press two buttons at the same time. Thanks very much for setting me up. The both of you looking at each other, knowing that I was going to look the floor.
I had no influence over that whatsoever.
Yeah. Touch it. I haven't got any dials here.
Right. Anyway, so that was a track by Down in Splendor. So we've got Michael from Down in Splendor today, and that was their song Green. And I'm just going to say, I'd tell you the name of the album, but Michael, you've been worried about all the songs, and you haven't named the album yet.
No. Well, we thought we'd do that when we get to that point.
At the moment, it's just a collection of songs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So there's an album's worth of songs, and we're releasing them one at a time as singles. And the reason we decided to do that was because we think unless you're, you know, major established artist like Foo Fighters or whatever, people don't consume music that way anymore. It's all about streaming and Spotify and playlists. So if you drop 9 songs together, people are going to listen to the first one and then go on to another artist, another artist, and playlisting. And you know, and then you're another 3 years before you've got another album ready to go. So we thought, well, people consume songs and music individually now by track. That's our theory anyway. So we do them one at a time, and then we've got a year or so of conversation to have with the people who follow what we do.
It's interesting, you know, when you were just saying, you know, you put the single out. Remember when we used to get a single come out? I mean, this is how long ago, when I first started, you know, really buying music, and you'd go into the record shop, and then they'd have the top 10, 20 singles all packed in there. Yep. And the B-side was really important, right?
Yeah.
Because possibly you didn't hear it.
Yep.
And then you'd go, what have they put on the other side? Which was really exciting as well. I mean, all those bands that bring out retrospective B-side albums.
You know,
off the top of my head, I think of Sugar and their B-sides. Mm-hmm. And you go, wow, this was stuff you possibly didn't hear.
Yeah.
And now a single doesn't even have to have a B-side, right? Because it's just the one track.
That's right, yeah.
You know, and
it's just the way everybody consumes music.
Yeah, I think people are missing out.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I love albums, and I love, you know, digging into all the, you know, like you say, the B-sides or the different mixes or the outtakes, you know. And you can still do that over time, and, you know, we can do that via our website, and, you know, here's stuff, you know, for the people who are really into what we're doing. But, you know, at this point, it seems like the way to go. We'll see how well it works, but that seems to be going, you know, working to plan so far.
And Stu and I have talked in the past on here and off air as well about, you know, when you get an album and the artist puts the songs in a certain order, right?
Yeah.
And so I think to myself, when, you know, someone's listening just digitally and they press shuffle or whatever, it loses that, right?
Yeah.
It loses that, you know, that, because song one often straight in there and hits you and grabs you.
Yep.
But if that gets shuffled to song three, then it's kind of...
Well, it's like a set list when you're playing live. It's really important. What order you do it in? You've got to take the audience up, you've got to take them down, give it a rest, bring it up again. You know, there's a sort of trajectory to it all. Particularly, you know, if you get into sort of more conceptual albums where they, you know, there might be a story that flows through all the songs from start to finish. If you jumble that up, then... And, you know, you lose the whole story.
Well, I was going to say then, you know, Pink Floyd's The Wall. Imagine listening if you're a first time
on shuffle.
On shuffle on Spotify, you would just be lost, right?
Yeah.
You would not know what's going on there.
And a lot of that, you don't exactly know where one song starts and the other one finishes.
Yeah, because
anyway,
they do blend, don't they?
Yeah, they blend through.
Yeah. And so we were talking, I think we just mentioned about the videos, and how great they were. And you mentioned that they're quite German psychedelic, because Down in Splendor is that kind of, as much as they want to put you in a genre, psychedelic, and you have some influences from psychedelic bands, is that right?
Well, yeah, though, to be honest, that was sort of a label that got put on once the music started getting reviewed by bloggers, because prior to that, it was just music, you know. I mean, there wasn't a conscious we're going to be one thing or the other. In fact, for a couple of years, we had an offer on that anyone who could come up with a genre that we liked the sound of, we'd take them out for free drinks for the night with the band, because the moment you say, oh, it's this kind of thing, well, that's true for that song, but it's not true for that, you know. I think with the stuff we've got, there's quite a variety of styles in there, and so it's not always easy to sort of say, well, we're this, that, or the other thing. And it's not because we're being, you know, sort of precious about being, grandiose or anything, but it's just sort of neat little descriptions don't work all the time.
I was just going to say, you're not wearing paisley or tie-dye.
I could say there's plenty of arguments for other things, but in the end, that came out in the first couple of reviews, so we thought, right, that'll do for now,
And it's interesting because somewhere along the line, that King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard were... Yeah. Associated, and I was thinking, oh, it's interesting because Stu and I played some of that last year, right? And then I'd never heard of it, and suddenly everywhere I turn around, someone's interviewed and they're talking about that band, and I thought,
yeah, they're
blown up big time.
Yeah, they had a couple of massive tours last year through Europe. They're out on the road again, and I think the Australian psychedelia thing's interesting because you've got Tame Impala, obviously, who are massive, and then King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. So, you know, there's an audience for everything, and you know, if you ignore the charts and get into, you know, real music and people searching out what they like, there's phenomenal stuff going on. It just, you got to go looking for it.
And we've said that before, and that's the best piece of advice, isn't it? Ignore the charts
and just find what fits, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, whatever genre or style or whatever it is,
expand your horizons.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So way back I was talking about your videos, and so then I was going to ask you then about your album art, right?
Yeah.
Because, well, the not album.
The not art. Album. We might call it that yet. Not an album.
Not an album. This is not an album.
Yeah.
Because I just wonder, like, would you do that yourself?
Or yeah, some of it. Again, because we've just been doing, you know, song by song at the moment, we're only two releases in. So I think the first track, we have a sort of a hero image that we use on our website and most of our branding, which again I kind of stole the idea from the Straitjacket Fits Down in Splendor music video from 25 years ago, and which was something about a girl swimming underwater, and I really liked the imagery, so I just went on to Shutterstock and put those search words in and found this killer image.
It's great, and just
grabbed that, and so we stick that on everything. And then for the Alice video, just took some screen grabs out of the video and went from there, you know. And we'll probably play around with other art and stuff as we go, but still figuring out what things we're enjoying. And
I'm going to interrupt you, Michael, because I'm going to play Alice Underground now. I mean, I tried to play it before. And people will go, hey, didn't you just start playing that before, Cole? And for those people who have been observant, yes, I did. So,
once more with feeling.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep going from where we were.
Okay.
We're not, So we always do it with feeling, though, I'm just saying. So this is Down in Splendor's other track that we've got today with us, Alice Underground, and from the non-album album. And you're on Expanding Horizons on Plains FM.
Come inside. We're not after your love on Expanding Horizons, but we'll take a like. Check us out on Facebook.
Pretty.
Duran Cole on Expanding Horizons. We're an eclectic mix.
You are back on Expanding Horizons on Plains FM 96.9, and you were just listening to Am I Flying from Down in Splendor. And we were just talking about, you could tell that that was the vocals from the Italian chap, couldn't you?
Yes, of course you
June
could.
Knew it. He was like, yeah, that sounds it.
You could hear the accent in the harmonies, right?
You could, yeah, I could pick it up. I could pick it up. Yeah. And we also, off air, we were talking about the guitar addiction that people have, right?
Yeah, yeah.
About, there's, what was your saying? There's all these guitars plus more?
How many do you need? All of these in one more.
Yeah, that's right.
Always all of these in one more.
Yeah, yeah. So while you're here in Christchurch, you'll be popping into couple of guitar shops, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I shipped a few home just to keep me going while I was here, so just the essentials. So six, I think.
In case of emergency.
Just in case,
in case one string breaks or something like that.
It's like, well, I haven't got a red one, really?
Yeah, I'm wearing this and I don't have my red guitar.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to coordinate.
All right, so what? So because we're mindful of the time, Michael, what's the kind of the future moves now for Down in Splendor?
So for this year, we'll be releasing more singles, more videos.
Where would people go to keep their eye for those?
Okay, so well, YouTube. So so just search Down in Splendor, not by the straitjacket fits, and YouTube. And our website is downinsplendor.com, and it's spelt both ways for the Americans, so it'll all end up in the same place where it's where it's meant to be.
That's some good thinking.
That's a good idea.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the usual stuff. So hopefully some gigs later in the year.
Oh.
Mm. So
gigs, where were those gigs?
Don't know yet. We'll see.
Oh, no, wherever you are.
Like to do some shows here, and if we can find a way of making that work, that'd be cool.
If you could get everyone here.
A lot of people to get here, you know, and airfares are expensive. Mm. And all that
That's right.
We'll figure it out. You know.
I was just going to say, so the release of the singles. Are you thinking like they'll be every month, every 2 months?
Every month or two, yeah. Just depending on, you know, video production, really, because that's right. The thing that takes a bit of time. But we're getting a bit of a system going now for that. And
less producers.
Yeah. Yeah, keep it tight and lean. It seems to work better. So.
Yeah. Okay, and so people can probably check out your website, right?
And see what's going on. Everything
updates.
Runs off that. So we've got a news feed on there, a blog post. All the videos are on there. All the music's on there. Photos, if you want to see what we look like. carefully selected photos that make us look good.
Good lighting.
Good lighting. Low lighting.
You've already admitted to the low lighting on stage.
Lost of soft focus stuff. you know.
And yeah. So while you're here though, are you up to catching up some gigs or?
Catching up, been going out and playing some open mics, which has been fun around town. So yeah, very very often I'll do some acoustic solo versions of the songs, which is always fun. And just sort of playing around a few of the places in town, which has been great. Catching up with old friends from the music scene here, which is nice as well.
So has it changed much, do you think, since you've been away?
Yeah, it has. I think it's still that post-earthquake thing where, you know, there's still a lot of places that seem to be really struggling to get a crowd. You know, there's a lot of people not going out. Littleton's pretty cool. There's a lot happening over there. Right. Enjoying playing over there. Central City still seems to be finding its way, which is, you know, going to take some time, I guess. But, you know, the people are there, you know, and there's some great music happening here. So I think it'll shake itself.
Just got to get some more people in there.
Yeah.
And you were saying, I think you were saying when you first came in that another blues bar, is that right? It's just opened in town?
Yeah, last night, called 12 Bar or something. Yeah, I just heard this. I was at a gig last night with Sign of the Firebird we were playing, and they mentioned that it was a new club had opened up. So we'll have to go down and check that out.
So hopefully people can keep their ears open about new places. And when we were talking last week, Stu, about Rolling Stone, right? Because Gordy Tentrees was playing there and... So, yeah, people just need to keep their eyes and ears open, I guess, to what's happening around.
Back in the day, that's how we found bands, you know. You went out to gigs, you know. There's some great venues around Christchurch and,
I'm sure
over time, you know, they'll emerge again.
After the earthquakes, I remember seeing a band, Carbon Carb. Yeah, I think they were in an office.
Right.
I think they just stripped the desks and they just stood there behind a line of candles.
Why not?
Yeah. Because I guess that's the one thing about, you know, London and those established places. I know they do have a turnover of venues, but there's some venues that have been there for for years, haven't they?
They have, yeah. Though even London, you know, lots of venues disappearing. You know, keeping live venues going is hard because, you know, you've always got developers who want to, you know, knock them down and put up another block of luxury flats, which make more money.
Right. Of course.
So it's a worldwide challenge.
And I was going to say, the other thing about Spotify is that people are so used to getting their stuff for free, I'm not paying $5 to go and see a band.
Yeah.
Kind of attitude that people have.
And I think that's why we decided to do a lot of online releasing this year, because I think, you know, like when I was a kid, you know, you went out and found music by going to gigs in venues. You didn't even know who was playing. You just knew that's where the music was, so you go down and find it. But people find it online now. Then they go to the show.
Yeah.
You know, right. So it's changed. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, 12 bars in Sedasiv Street.
12 bars in Sedasiv. Just around the corner from us, really.
And it opened last year. So, I mean, that's a perfect example, isn't it, that didn't know.
Yeah. That's me giving you false information.
No, that's all right. You've only been in the country how long?
Yeah. He's already spreading stories.
Disinformation going on. Yeah.
To be fair, it's only been a couple of months, but still, yeah.
Ah, so when you say last year?
Yeah.
Could have been December.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
that's good.
Right. I think we're almost to the end, aren't we?
Just about.
So, Michael, thanks very much for coming in and spending your time with us. And
we've had a great time. Thanks for having me.
And playing some great tracks, man. This is this album will be a really good one for people to look forward to hearing, right?
Appreciate it.
And I look forward to hearing the name of it as well. And then I'll be going, really?
Yeah.
And we'll keep a watch out for the release of your future singles. And
hopefully we can play some more. Yeah. Here on Expanding Horizons.
That'd be great.
And if you're, you know, while you're still in town, if you get back in, if you want to, before you leave, whenever you decide that you're going, or that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we'll hear some more stories.
Yeah, some more war stories of guitar collecting and...
all of that.
Next time you can bring a couple of your six in, we'll have a play of them and all that kind of stuff.
Are you going to get on the guitar, Cole?
No, let's get carried away, Stu. Anyway, that's it, Stu, hey?
Yeah, it is. Now, next week...
Got nothing up our sleeve at the moment.
No, but we'll have something by the
end
of the week.
We'll have something exciting going on.
Yeah.
But we know we've got Lyndon coming in, right?
And we've also, we've got a few artists coming in over the next month or so. So we're doing New Zealand Music Month in February.
In February. Unlike the rest of the country. We'll do it when we like, because we don't mind.
And we're ahead of the game, aren't we?
No, that's right.
All right. So
have a great week, everyone.
And it's probably about time we got up.
And got down.
And got outside.
And we'll see you later.
See you later.